The Boarding House. Mrs. Mooney was a butcher's daughter. She was organized, and she could do things for herself. She had married a man who had worked for her father, and they had opened a butcher's shop together. But as soon as his father-in-law was dead, Mr. Mooney started to drink. He took money from the shop, and he got into debt. He promised many times to stop drinking, but each time he was drunk again a few days later. He fought with his wife in front of the customers, and he sold bad meat. The business was soon ruined. One night, he attacked his wife with a butcher's knife, and she had to sleep at a neighbour's house. After that, they no longer lived together. She went to the priest and got a separation from her husband so that she did not have to live with him. The children stayed with her. She gave her husband no money and no food, and he had to get a job. But he was always drunk and never had much work. Mrs. Mooney, who was a big, strong woman, sold the butcher's shop and used the money to open a boarding house in Hardwick Street. The house had some guests who came and went, tourists from Liverpool or the Isle of Man, and sometimes visiting artists from the theatre. There were also more permanent guests, clerks who worked in the city. Mrs. Mooney managed the house very wisely. She knew when to be strict about things and when to close an eye. The young men who lived there permanently all called her the Madam. Mrs. Mooney's young men all paid 15 shillings a week for their rooms and their food, not including beer with dinner. They had similar interests, and they were very friendly to one another. They sometimes talked about horses and their chances at the races. Jack Mooney, the Madam's son, was also a city clerk. He lived a little wildly, came home late, and he always had good advice for his friends about a good horse or a lady artiste who could be friendly. He could fight and he could sing. On Sunday nights, there was often music in Mrs. Mooney's front room. Some of the artists performed, and Sheridan, one of the clerks, played the piano. Polly Mooney, the Madam's daughter, sometimes sang too. Polly was a girl of 19. She had light, soft hair and a small, full mouth. Her eyes were grey with a little green in them, and she used to look upwards when she spoke to someone, which made her look proud. She had worked in an office, but her father, drunk and dirty, used to go there every other day. He wanted to talk to his daughter. So Mrs. Mooney took Polly away from the office and got her to clean and wash for the boarding house. Polly was bright and happy, and Mrs. Mooney wanted her to meet some of her young men. And young men like to see that there is a young woman not very far away. Polly, of course, got quite friendly with the clerks. But Mrs. Mooney could see that, although the young men were friendly, none of them were serious about her. After some time, Mrs. Mooney was beginning to wonder about sending Polly back to an office. But then she noticed that there was something between Polly and Mr. Doran, one of the clerks. She watched the pair and kept quiet. Polly knew that her mother was watching her. She and her mother never discussed it, but everybody in the house was talking about the love affair. Still, Mrs. Mooney said nothing. Polly started to behave a little strangely, and the young man seemed worried. At last, when she judged it was the right moment, Mrs. Mooney moved into action. She managed moral problems in the same way that a butcher's knife cuts meat. And now she had made up her mind. It was a bright Sunday morning. All the windows of the boarding house were open and the curtains moved gently. The bells from St. George's Church rang out, and groups of people going to the morning service walked towards the entrance of the church. Breakfast was finished and the dirty plates were still on the table. Mrs. Mooney sat in an armchair and watched the servant, Mary, carry them out to the kitchen. She made Mary collect any pieces of bread to put in Tuesday's bread pudding. When the table was cleared, the bread collected, and the sugar and butter locked in the cupboard, Mrs. Mooney started to think about her conversation with Polly the night before. She had been right to think that the pair were getting too friendly. She had asked questions, and Polly had answered honestly. Both were a little uncomfortable, of course. Mrs. Mooney did not want her daughter to think that she did not care, and Polly did not like talking about the affair. She also knew that her mother had allowed the affair to develop, but she did not want her mother to realize that she knew. Mrs. Mooney looked at the clock. It was 11:17. She had lots of time to agree things with Mr. Doran and get to church for the 12:00 service. She was sure she would win. Everyone knew she was right. He had come into her home and behaved badly towards her daughter. He was 34 or 35 years old, so he was not even that young. He should know better. The only question was, what would he do now? He must do something. It is all right for the man. He can continue with his life as if nothing has happened. He has had his fun, but the girl has to pay. Mrs. Mooney knew some mothers who would accept money. But she would not do that. She would accept only one thing for her daughter: marriage. She sent Mary up to Mr. Doran's room to say that she wished to speak with him. He was a serious young man, and she did not think it would be difficult. He had worked in the same company for 13 years, and if the love affair became known and he did not marry Polly, he would lose his job. He had a good salary, and he probably had some money saved. Many mothers could not find good husbands for their daughters, and Mrs. Mooney was now sure that she could. Mr. Doran was very worried this Sunday morning. He had told the whole story to his priest the night before, and he now knew that there were only two things he could do: marry Polly or run away. As a young man, he had had his fun, but he was a serious man now, and he had had a good job for many years. He had money and he could afford to marry, but his family would not like Polly. First, there was her awful father, and then there was her mother's boarding house. His friends would laugh at him. Polly was not from a good family. She did not speak well, and her manners were rough. Of course, if he loved her, that would not matter. He could not decide whether to like her or hate her for what she had done. Of course, he had done it too. But he wanted to be free. When you are married, you are finished. Yesterday, Polly had come to see him. She had told her mother, and her mother would speak to him in the morning. Then she had cried and put her arms round his neck. "Oh, Bob, Bob, what am I to do?" She would kill herself, she said. He had told her not to cry. It would be all right. It was not all his fault. He remembered everything. First, she had touched him gently. Then, one night, she had knocked on his door. She was going to have a bath, but her candle had blown out. Could she light it from his? She was wearing only a jacket, and he could smell her scent. And her thoughtfulness. When he came home late, she warmed his dinner for him. If the night was cold or wet, there would be a hot drink for him. Perhaps they could be happy together. They used to go upstairs, each with a candle, and stop outside his door to say good night. They used to kiss. He remembered her eyes, her hands, and his excitement. The excitement was gone, but the sin was there. Mary came to the door and told him that Mrs. Mooney wanted to see him downstairs. He wanted to go up to the roof and fly to another country where he would never hear of his problems. But he went downstairs, step by step. Near the bottom, he passed Jack Mooney, who was coming upstairs with two bottles of beer. At the bottom, he turned and saw Jack watching him. He remembered one night when an artiste, a Londoner, had said something about Polly. Jack had got very angry and was ready to fight to defend his sister. Polly sat for a little time on her bed, crying. Then she dried her eyes and went over to the mirror. She washed her face with cool water. Then she sat down again and waited. She thought about what had happened in the past, and then she started to think about her hopes for the future. She forgot that she was waiting. At last, she heard her mother calling. She ran to the top of the stairs. "Polly? Polly?" "Yes, mother." "Come down, dear. Mr. Doran wants to speak to you." Then she remembered what she was waiting for.